Blog Talk Radio.
Corruption, racism, xenophobia, white supremacy, healthcare protections hanging by a thread, law enforcement encouraged to commit acts of brutality, peaceful people being separated from their families, and at the helm, a man beholden to Russia who is so unhinged that his actions could actually lead us to nuclear war. Join Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Together we must stand against the destruction of this country and the ideals we hold dear before it's too late. That's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-803-4131. That's area code 914-803-4131. You can also join us in the chat room. Let me go ahead and launch that right now because we're just coming in after the debate and we're coming in hot. So let's go with this. So you can join us on the show page on the chat room. You can... Afterwards, you can leave us a response at the show thread at liberaldan.com, facebook.com/liberaldan, or at liberaldanradio on Twitter. So we did have the debate, but I do want to give I'm sharing the link with a bunch of people on Twitter. Hopefully, we'll have some people call in. So first couple minutes of the show will probably be just about some general things. I also have some a couple of bits to play. I don't know if I want to play them first or last. One of them I might play first. I might go into the whole Blagojevich thing. I couldn't find a good downloadable copy of Jon Stewart. Remember when Rob Blagojevich was last in the news and Jon Stewart would make fun of him? And he would just go, look, Blagojevich, or whatever, just kind of like, what's his face? I'm blanking right now. But, you know, he just would say the name really funny. I couldn't find that to throw into my bit, but as it stands, I'll just have to go with it as it is. But we're going to be discussing that. I mean, let's go ahead and actually, we'll play the hypocrite of the week first, and then we'll go ahead and kind of discuss that and discuss the whole Blagojevich thing and all the other people who were commuted or whatever. Let's play it first, and we'll go ahead and play that. This week's hypocrites of the week are the Drain the Swamp Republicans, who previously criticized Democrats for having Rob Blagojevich, a governor who was a Democrat, who tried to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. And now they cheer as Donald Trump gives clemency and pardons to various corrupt people. So much for draining the swamp. To see who next week's hypocrite of the week will be, tune into Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. So yeah, so Mr. I'm going to drain the swamp, Donald Trump, has commuted or pardoned, commuted the sentences or pardoned people who, I can't remember all the names of all the people that he commuted. Now, I think one of them was fine. At least one of them was fine. There was a woman who was serving a life sentence for a drug charge, nonviolent drug charge. I think we can all agree, and I would hope that we would all agree, and if you don't agree with this, then you might be even more deplorable than the president, that commuting and or pardoning somebody for a
life drug sentence based on a nonviolent crime of taking drugs, yeah, you know what? That's fine. And I can support that. I can say, you know what? That's a good thing. That's a very good thing to do. So, golf clap. You did one good thing, Donald Trump. There you go. But Blagojevich, no. These Republicans harped all day long about how Blagojevich was just corrupt, and he was just the epitome of what the problems were with the Democratic Party, and how, you know, he's brazenly trying to sell the Senate seat that formerly belonged to Barack Obama, who was just elected president. He's trying to profit off of this crime. And look, you know what? It was corrupt. Absolutely, he should have gone to jail. I have no problem with Democrats getting corrupt. Not for the longest time, for a very long time at least, I was a registered no party because the Louisiana Democratic Party endorsed unrepentant convicted felon Edwin Edwards for Congress after he got out of jail. Now, problem is that who did Donald Trump also, I think he commuted this sentence as well. It was the guy, the DiBartolo. It was him, the guy that gave $400,000 to Governor Edwards, or at least, yeah, I think he gave it to him, and then he was able to get a riverboat casino deal, because back in the day, when you were trying to run a casino in the state of Louisiana, apparently it was considered immoral to have a casino on land. So it's somehow more moral to have a casino on water. And for a while, they actually made the casinos leave the dock. So if you were on the river, there was one casino on the river. There was one casino on the lake. I forget where I don't know what body of water specifically the Boomtown Casino was, but every casino that was based on a ship, some sort of boat, river boat, if you will. And every so often you had to leave port and go sail around a bit. I mean, it was kind of neat, but the weirdness of it was just that somehow it's less immoral to gamble as long as you're gambling on water. I mean, because Jesus walked on water, so therefore water makes something special. I don't know. I can't explain the reasonings behind it. Oh, but remember here, gambling is actually against the Louisiana Constitution. So how do you have gambling in Louisiana? You don't. You have gaming. Everything that goes on in casinos in Louisiana is gaming, not gambling, because greedy politicians want their money, like unrepentant convicted felon Edwin Edwards, but don't have the political will to eliminate things from the Constitution that are stupid, like prohibitions on gambling, when you want gaming to take place. And now, the rules since have been lessened, and while they still do have casinos on boats, the boats are no longer required to leave port, and you actually have a land-based casino in New Orleans that couldn't go anywhere if it wanted to because it's on land. So that's just the ridiculousness that is Louisiana politics in a nutshell. But again, then you had somebody who was responsible for, bond or some sort of financial fraud. He got his sentence commuted or pardoned, whichever one it was. There was some, I don't know if one of these three people were this one or another one was. There was somebody who donated millions of money to the Donald Trump campaign and gave some in-kind contributions when it came to air travel to help the Donald Trump campaign. And that person also managed to, that person's children managed to get their, or magically, I guess it was, we're supposed to believe that it wasn't related, that the campaign contributions made to the president didn't somehow encourage or influence the fact that the president gave this other person a commutator pardon sentence. Are we supposed to believe that? Is anybody really that stupid? Maybe a good chunk of the 60 million people who actually voted for Donald Trump could very well be that stupid. And here's the thing. I called into a conservative radio talk show that I call into a bunch this morning, and I raised it up. I was like, I remember this person, he constantly talked about Blagojevich and how corrupt he was and how ridiculous it was. And he harped on it all day long. And what did he say today? Oh, he served enough. Anything to excuse Donald Trump. Anything to give him a pass. They want to give him a pass on everything because they can't admit that they were wrong. Here's the thing. I couldn't figure out. Blagojevich was a Democratic governor. Why would Donald Trump want to help a former Democratic governor, somebody who is disgraced as being corrupt? How does this help Donald Trump? How does this help his political career? How does this help anything? It didn't make any sense to me until I called this radio show, and he brought up a very interesting point. And that is that the people who prosecuted Blagojevich went after and investigated Donald Trump. This is all about a personal vendetta. Donald Trump has a personal vendetta against these. I wouldn't be surprised if we find more pardons done. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump has said, you know what, all these people that these people put away in jail, I don't like them, so I'm gonna commute or pardon everybody they got convicted ever. That's what I'm gonna do because I'm vindictive. I'm a vindictive president. So that's what Donald Trump did. He's going after the cases, the convictions that the people who investigated him did in the past. It's childish. It's ridiculous. I don't know how anybody could say that he's somehow draining the swamp by doing this. In fact, he's probably adding to the swamp by doing this. And it just, it shows that he's a corrupt. He is corrupt. He embraces corrupt people. And there is, he should have never been entrusted with this country, with running this country. Let's go ahead and take our first commercial break, and we'll be taking your calls as well. 914-803-4131. That is 914-803-4131. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right. Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out Budgeteers.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kinds of tickets should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but Budgeteers is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out Budgeteers.com or go to YouTube.com/Budgeteers and help make your trip the best it can be. Budgeteers.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings.
In a world gone mad, one progressive will do a bad movie trailer guy impression to get you to listen to his show. There's only one thing that I like better than the Liberal Dan Radio minicast.
All right, Bill, that's enough of that. On the Liberal Dan Radio minicast, you will hear an honest discussion of the day's issues, with some personal bits in between. You might even hear what the other side has to say, sometimes even in their own voices. So become one of the Liberal Dan family. because family means no one gets left behind or forgotten.
To hear those bad impressions and more, tune into the Liberal Dan Radio minicast. Talk from the left, that's right.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful show.
Are you someone who is looking to get into the ride-sharing business, be it for a side hustle or a full-time gig? Are you currently a rideshare driver wondering how to increase your earnings? Are you simply a new rider looking for first-time rider credits? Head on over to RideshareDan.com for those first-time rider credits, sign-up bonuses for new drivers, and my tips and tricks to help you make more money in the gig economy.
Greetings. This is Nimbus Yosh, host of the Percy Podcast. What is the Percy Podcast? Well, it's pretty much the smoothest talking host you'll ever hear in your life, talking about all kinds of things. Political things, nerdy things, fun things, not so fun things. Go ahead, give a listen, and follow at the Percy Podcast for more updates and information. Why not sit back and take a listen to one of the best podcasts you'll ever hear, and no one else will. Catch you on the tunes.
And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk for the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. You can also listen, listen on the chat room and leave your comments there if you want to just text questions to me instead of ask them via the phone. Or if you're listening after the live broadcast, you can always respond to the show thread at liberaldan.com. Go to facebook.com/liberaldan or at liberaldanradio on Twitter. We also have the Anchor podcast. You can find the link to that on my Twitter account as well, at liberaldanradio on Twitter. The Anchor podcast is also under Liberal Dan Radio and host a show over there. So does my good buddy, little bro, Nimbus Yosh, host of the Percy podcast, the host with the most, Nimbus Yosh, and tune into his as well. He has some very informative, educational stuff, and we agree on most of the things, and if not, we're pretty cool about it anyway. So we had the debate tonight. And I did want to go ahead and go over some of the other things I was talking about before. I want to get to my issues that I'm having with Bernie Sanders and the potential unforced error I think that he might be making with this election, with the upcoming primary votes that are coming and the possibility of a brokered convention and what happens in a brokered convention. I'm concerned that not only is he going to not be ready. Well, I'll get to that later. I'm going to get to that later with my concern, but there's a concern there, and we will discuss it. But first, the other parts of the debate. First thing, you know, one of the things that Bernie Sanders started off with is the living wage, and wanting a living wage of $15 an hour. I would like to believe that maybe living wages may be closer to 17 an hour, maybe. Maybe it should be a little bit higher than that. Or maybe we should just have universal income instead. You know, one of the things I liked about Andrew Yang. But you don't. If you want $15 an hour as your target for your minimum wage, your living wage, you don't start at 15. You start higher. Start at like 22. And 22 is really where it should be. Start the conversation, if the minimum wage kept up with inflation, then we would be having minimum wage at about $22 an hour right now. And then you negotiate down to 15. And okay, good, we got 15, yay. No, you don't start at 15. Like, you don't start with what you want. You start with something much more than what you think you can get so you can negotiate it down to what the thing is that you really want. Now, I guess the other side of the coin is you can't start too high because people just then just look at you like you're ridiculous. Like, you can't say, I think the minimum wage should be $100 an hour. That'd be dumb. I mean, it'd be lovely for everybody to be able to have $100 an hour, but, you know, I'll see that happen. That is a non-starter. Start at 22. Start at 25, maybe. Negotiate your way down to the point where you want to be. Tonight was pretty much the let's attack Mike Bloomberg contest, and I don't think he came out of that debate looking well at all. I think he fell flat on his face. Now, he has a lot of money to be able to make up for falling flat on his face. He might dust himself off and say, oh, I'm going to buy another $1 billion in campaign commercials. Hopefully everyone forgets about the fact that things that people said about me at the debate. But I do have to question Mike Bloomberg on his numbers, in his criticisms of Medicare for All, that he says that 160 million people love their current health care plan. Do they, Mike? Do 160 million? Where are you getting your data that 160 million people love their health care plans? I don't see that. I don't see that as being factual in any way, shape, or the matter. There may be some people who like their health care plans. You might have some people who like, you know what, I have this union-based plan. I think it's good. I think it gives me what I want. And maybe they like it. I think I've had one insurance plan that I liked in the course of me paying for my own insurance. And it's not my current one, that's for damn sure. This year is terrible for insurance. I had about a $100 payment, $800 that I paid on a bill for my insurance last month, or that I will be paying on a bill for my insurance last month, that an insurance premium was $1,400 for my family. So $2,200 out of my pocket, nothing. And then because I'm changing healthcare plans, because I was tired of paying $1,400 for my entire family, guess what? None of that I paid, $800 will be applied to my new deductible. So I got to start over from scratch. That's right, folks. I got to start over from scratch. So I don't love my healthcare plan. I would do much better under a Medicare for All type plan. And I think a majority of those 160 million people, I think everybody would probably do better under Medicare for All plan, because these people are still paying premiums. These people are still paying deductibles. These people are still paying co-payments and co-insurance and everything like that. So yeah, I have to question, sincerely question Mike Bloomberg on his figures there. Warren, I think Warren won the debate tonight, honestly. If you're going to tell the truth, I think Warren won the debate. Biden had some good moments, but was largely ignored for most of it. I don't know if that's good or bad for Biden. I think Bloomberg lost the debate. The interaction towards the end between Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg, they were just body blow, but they were just in the corner just boxing. And one made a good hit. The other one made a good hit. The one made a good point. The other one made a good point. Maybe they weren't so good. Maybe they were solid points. I don't know if they were entirely factual, but they seemed to be getting reactions. And it was like, you know, two prize fighters going at it, except for the fact that they were kind of at the end of the stage. Because even though they did well in New Hampshire, better than anybody thought that they both would do, they're still kind of on the side. Sanders had a decent night. Again, but Bloomberg, I think, completely lost. I think he completely just did not do well at all. Joe Biden brought up a point that I brought up on the minicast. If you listen to the Liberal Dan minicast, I discussed this topic, which was the fact that Joe Biden was talking about the MSNBC poll that not only had him winning in nationwide votes, but had him winning in the states, in individual states by a certain amount of money. Now, I want to go see those polls because, again, I haven't personally seen them, so I don't know the veracity of the comment. But, you know, that's one of the points that I made, is that national votes don't matter. Don't tell me who's winning the national popularity contest, because maybe those votes come from California and New York, and you get more votes in a state. Maybe you get more votes in a state that you've already won that are not necessary. Maybe you get more votes in a state that you're not winning, so those votes are not necessary. if you're getting unnecessary votes, you're not helping yourself win the candidacy. Part of Sanders' problem, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Elizabeth Warren, we are all responsible for our supporters. I'll mostly agree. Everyone has their crazies, and at some point you have to be like, you know what, but you at least need to denounce. And to his credit, Bernie Sanders did denounce or disown the people who are toxic in his campaign. Now, I also disagree with his math, because in the last election, 10% of Bernie Sanders supporters in states, especially in states that matter, voted for Donald Trump after they voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary. So I don't think it's just 1% that's toxic. If you went from Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump, that automatically makes you toxic in my book. So at least 10% of the Bernie Sanders supporters are toxic. And you can't claim to support Bernie Sanders if you go to Donald Trump, because nothing Donald Trump supports is supported by Bernie Sanders. You can't be a single issue voter. You can't say, oh, well, I'm going to support student loans reduction, but I didn't get that, so I'm going to vote for Trump. Well, no, because Trump wants to make you pay more and eliminate some of the benefits that you have, especially for new borrowers, because I don't think you can do it for previous borrowers. So single issue voters, again, I don't see how. Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, leadership is what you draw out of people. Again, a good solid point. Amy Klobuchar, we would stop sexism on the internet by nominating a woman candidate or electing a woman president. I think she's highly underestimating sexism with that comment. I don't think that was clever. She made some other better remarks later on. Chuck Todd asked Bernie Sanders a question, I think, about his health care plan, and I'm sure that people are going to say that was a question by Chuck Todd attacking Bernie Sanders. It wasn't. It was a softball that Bernie Sanders was easily able to answer and answer well. So if any time a debate person asks you an easy question that you hit out the park, that's not an attack. That's a gimme, and they gave him a gimme. So if you're giving people gimmies, it's hard to say. And I think the vast majority of the people on that stage, I think they asked questions of hard questions to every one of them. I don't think anybody got treated with kid gloves. At this point in my tweets, Joe Biden was being ignored. I said, all of these people on stage are much more likable than Donald Trump, not you, Mike Bloomberg. Joe Biden, I'm the only one on the stage who's gotten anything done on healthcare. Fair enough. One of the things I said, got a couple likes at least. These people on the stage just need to simply say, I will sign the most progressive healthcare plan passed by Congress, the Congress that you give me. Discuss that on the minicast as well. You can't do it as president by yourself. You have to have help by Congress. So if the people don't give you a Congress that's able to elect to pass Medicare for all, you're not getting Medicare for all. It doesn't matter if you elect Bernie Sanders or not. You're not getting Medicare for all unless you give the president the liberal enough Congress to get that president done what he wants to get done. Mike Bloomberg was really struggling with the stop and frisk questions. He was, I mean, it's not about stuttering, but he was just, it didn't seem like it was a stutter. Like it was like, you know, that he was having a speech impediment. It literally seemed like he just didn't know how to answer the question. And you can't say it because he's a novice, because he's run for mayor before. So he's not a political novice. He should be able to handle it. And he needs to be able to handle it if he does go on to face Donald Trump. But he's really struggling with stop and frisk and weak on it and other issues. And the bottom line is that money doesn't buy integrity. Money doesn't get you what you want when it comes to or what people need from a president. Now it could win him the election. Anyway, Elizabeth Warren had killed it in previous debates, and I think she was killing it in this one as well. I'm wondering if Mike Bloomberg is figuring out that this was a mistake. I loved her comment, some NDA is how many? Because he was basically saying, oh, there was only some non-disclosure agreements. Well, how many are some? And then both of them are just jumping on them, just totally. Like, okay, well, just let them out of their NDAs if it's not a big deal. You know, and then, you know, Bloomberg trying to play off the NDAs as being protection for anybody but him is ridiculous, and I don't know who's falling for that. Not one bit. There obviously will be some people that fall for it, but I don't know who those people are. Joe Biden just referred to. They're talking about Pete Buttigieg had an NDA with a company that was working for, and he asked to be let out of his NDA so that he could disclose certain things about what he did on the campaign trail. And so Joe Biden replied, "This guy," he called Pete Buttigieg, "this guy." And then Pete Buttigieg was criticizing Amy Klobuchar on forgetting the name of the president of Mexico. And I just think it would have been better. I mean, Amy Klobuchar did say sometimes people forget names, but I think Amy Klobuchar should have said to Pete Buttigieg, "Sometimes people forget names. Joe Biden just called you this guy." If she would have said that, that would have been perfect. Joe Biden, the only industry we can't go after is the gun industry because my buddy over here, and he points to Bernie Sanders. There was an interesting vote, I guess, that Bernie Sanders had that made it, it was one of his weak spots. That vote is one of his weak spots. Twitter account, Bernie's Missing Hairbrush. Shout out to Bernie's Missing Hairbrush. Did Bloomberg not expect to get sideswiped about sexual harassment NDAs? His ads are slick, but his debate game is weak. Absolutely. That is 100% correct. Brianna Joy Gray, Bree Joy on Twitter, quote, "They didn't accuse me of doing anything other than sex, or they didn't like the jokes that I told. Sexual harassment, that's what the women who worked at Bloomberg accused Mike of. Accountability matters, hashtag dem debate." Exactly, so retweeted that. Should billionaires exist? Question I was asked of Bernie Sanders. Should billionaires exist? Well, you know, I basically said, no billionaire has made their money ethically. Hashtag change my mind. Hashtag democratic debate. I really wonder if is there any billionaire that exists that made their money ethically, morally? I also said, imagine if every billionaire only, in quotes, had $500 million in wealth. Only $500 million in wealth. Those poor, unfortunate souls. Bloomberg was talking about redlining, and Joe Biden gave him a gray face. And I caught one with my camera. I'm going to have to go back and find a video and take some screenshots and make a GIF out of it because that's going to be amazing. I was like, how many Mike Bloomberg employees got paid poverty wages while he earned his billions? According to Glassdoor, the starting wage of Bloomberg is $13.12 an hour. And I asked my friend who responded with that, Boeing 74, a charming Avenger on Twitter. I asked him if it was a starting wage, and he said that it was the average starting wage, which means that some obviously are making less than $13.12 an hour. Pete Buttigieg also stole a line from me this debate. So I like to think that all of the presidential candidates are following at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. Wishful thinking. I also have always said that I always liked Bernie Sanders since before it was cool. I knew Bernie Sanders back before he had a 4% name recognition. I was sharing things on Facebook about him well before he started to run for president. So when people try and call me out and say, "Oh, you haven't taken Bernie's side, so therefore you're standing against him," no, I've liked Bernie for a very long time. I like a lot of his ideas. I just think you need to be strategic with your votes and your support. And the Louisiana primary is late, and I have plenty of time to make my decision. I have plenty of time to see who makes it past Super Tuesday. Let's see who makes it past Super Tuesday. Then I might throw my name behind, or my whatever my name is worth. I might throw my endorsement behind somebody at that point. Pete Buttigieg is another good line. It's not about how much money you got. It's about what you stand for. And I think Pete Buttigieg had a lot of the really good lines on the debate. I just don't think he won. Joe Biden started calling Trump mayor, I think trying to confuse, maybe he was confused by Mayor Bloomberg versus Trump because they're being kind of the same thing. And then let's go ahead and take another commercial break, and then we'll get to the meat of the issue at hand, which is the idea about whether or not a person should get the most votes. Should the person with the most votes get the nomination? I'll be talking about that after the podcast. After the commercial break, 914-803-4131. 914-803-4131. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.
Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out Budgeteers.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kind of tickets should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but Budgeteers is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out Budgeteers.com or go to YouTube.com/Budgeteers and help make your trip the best it can be. Budgeteers.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings.
In a world gone mad, one progressive will do a bad movie trailer guy impression to get you to listen to his show. There's only one thing that I like better than the Liberal Dan Radio minicast. Alright, Bill, that's enough of that. On the Liberal Dan Radio minicast, you will hear an honest discussion of the day's issues, with some personal bits in between. You might even hear what the other side has to say, sometimes even in their own voices. So become one of the Liberal Dan family, because family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. To hear those bad impressions and more, tune into the Liberal Dan Radio minicast. Talk from the left, that's right.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful show.
Are you someone who is looking to get into the ride-sharing business, be it for a side hustle or a full-time gig? Are you currently a rideshare driver wondering how to increase your earnings? Are you simply a new rider looking for first-time rider credits? Head on over to RideshareDan.com for those first-time rider credits, sign-up bonuses for new drivers, and my tips and tricks to help you make more money in the gig economy.
Greetings. This is Nimbus Yosh, host of the Percy Podcast. What is the Percy Podcast? Well, it's pretty much the smoothest talking host you'll ever hear in your life, talking about all kinds of things. Political things, nerdy things, fun things, not so fun things. Go ahead, give a listen, and follow at the Percy Podcast for more updates and information. Why not sit back and take a listen to one of the best podcasts you'll ever hear, and no one else will. Catch you on the tunes.
And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it is 914-803-4131. That is 914-803-4131. Unfortunately, I thought I was going to have somebody who is a Bernie Sanders supporter at least listening to the show. Maybe I will get Nicole Nunya on Twitter back to the show to listen. Apparently, she didn't like the fact that I started off with fluff and not the meat of the issue. I don't think any podcast is going to start off with the main issue right from the get-go. Very rarely, at least, is that going to happen, unless you're going to talk about the main issue for the entirety of the show. But there's other things I wanted to get to before I got to this main topic. And usually I get to the main topic about halfway through the show. Now, with my technical error and what I have to edit out, I will have to, maybe this is a little past half of the show or what have you. But then again, you know, this is my issue. This is what I've been concerned about, what I've been thinking about for at least a day or two now. And it occurred to me that Bernie Sanders may very well be making an unforced error in this election. If the actions of his campaign are close to what he's saying. Let's go back to the Iowa caucuses. Let's go back to what he said before we get to Chuck Todd's question. Back in Iowa, he said that he should be considered the winner of the Iowa caucuses because he won the first round, setting the stage for the next argument, which is to be made. So if you're going to make this argument, that argument was a good argument to make. The argument that Iowa caucuses, if you come in first place, you should be considered the winner. Now, is a good argument to make if you're trying to then build an argument that coming into the Democratic convention with the most pledged delegates should mean you should win the Democratic convention. But that's not a good argument to make overall. It's not a good argument to make. Here's the deal. Here's why. Here's the reason that this is a problem. That's not how the rules of the game work. If you are playing a game of basketball, and let's say we're playing a game of basketball, you make more baskets than me, and you say to the referee, well, I think I should have won this game because I made more baskets than Dan. Dan only made 7 baskets. I made 10. How am I not the winner of the game? But then the referee looks at you and say, you made 10 layups. Dan made 7 three-pointers. Dan scored more points because he followed the rules of the game. It doesn't matter you made more baskets. What matters is that you scored less points. I played the game better than you did because I was able to more efficiently gather my points, and that I could I can score 7 baskets and do a better job of you doing it with you scoring 10 baskets. So again, you play the game as it's written. You don't play the game as you wish the rules were written. So then Bernie Sanders, after making the Iowa comments, he says that, okay, now that I should be considered the winner in Iowa because I got first place in the first round. So now he's making the argument again. If I come into the Democratic nomination with the most pledged delegates, should it matter that it's not a majority? It should matter that I came in first, and therefore I should win. And that's frankly stupid. If that's the attitude that he's going to bring, then he is going to be making a huge unforced error. And that is ignoring how the game is played. And it's not just about the superdelegates. He can talk about the superdelegates in the second round all he wants. And yeah, he should probably start courting superdelegates. And look, here's the deal with superdelegates. This is the deal with superdelegates. Typically, superdelegates go, especially when they were going in the first round, typically superdelegates go with the winner of their state that they're in. So if you won in the congressional district, let's say, that some congressman supports, then you know what? That person's probably going to go with you because they don't want to go against the will of their constituents because that person's going to want to win. It happened in 2008. You know, Hillary Clinton was the presumptive nominee in 2008. Everyone believed that Hillary Clinton was going to be the candidate who runs and wins until Barack Obama showed up. He started winning states. He started taking away those superdelegates from Hillary. They started coming on board and hopping aboard Obama's train. And same thing could have happened in 2016 had Bernie Sanders followed Obama's playbook and not ignored the South. Again, another unforced error. But here you go. So if you win state, like let's say Bernie wins California, and let's say he does really well in certain congressional districts, and those congressional districts are, you know, Democratic congressional districts. I see your question in the chat, Bring It Boy. I'll get to that in a second. But I want to make this point. This is the important point that I'm trying to make about this with the unforced error that I'm concerned about Bernie making. He wins a congressional district. He gets the most votes in a congressional district. That congressman is likely going to support Bernie Sanders as a superdelegate simply because of the fact that person wants to keep their job. And if that person's constituency supports Bernie, then that superdelegate is then going to support Bernie. And that's if that constituency supports another candidate, that superdelegate is likely to support the other candidate. It's very odd that you're going to see a superdelegate go against the will of the people who elected them. So let's take the superdelegate issue off the table for a second. And we're going to talk about the fact that once you go into the second round, every delegate becomes unpledged. So it doesn't matter. Let's say I go to the Democratic Convention and I decide that I want to be a delegate for whomever. Let's say I run in Louisiana and I'm going to be a Bernie delegate. Doesn't matter who I actually support. If I go to the convention as a Bernie delegate, guess what? I'm required to support Bernie Sanders on that first ballot. But then I'm smart. If a smart candidate's there, that smart candidate is going to say, you know what? I'm going to try and get other people who support me to be other people's delegates so that if there's a brokered convention, they can support me in future rounds. Now, let's come back to that in a second, because I also don't want to forget about this other point that I was going to make. So let's say Bernie Sanders gets, what's that, the 4,900 something delegates, I want to say, maybe. I think you need 19-something to win. So let's say that's about 2,000, about 4,000 regular delegates. Add some other delegates. Let's say there winds up being about 4,500 delegates. Let's say Bernie Sanders gets 1,200. Let's say Biden gets 1,000. Let's say Bloomberg gets 1,000. Let's say Warren gets 1,000. And let's say Pete Buttigieg gets 300. To make it about roughly 4,500 votes. Let's just say that's how the math works. I don't know if the numbers are actually correct or how that's going to turn out, but let's just say that's the case. Biden, Sanders gets 1,200, Biden gets 1,000, Warren gets 1,000, Bloomberg gets 1,000, Buttigieg gets 300, let's just say. So what does that mean? Sanders is saying that he should get the nomination despite the fact that a 3,300 delegates worth of people didn't have Bernie as the first choice. That's undemocratic. That's terrible. That's why I like open primaries states like Louisiana when it comes to non-presidential races, when it comes to like running for Congress, because you shouldn't be able to win with 20% of the vote just because you came in first. You should have to win over a majority. Now, would I prefer there to be something like an instant runoff voting where we could establish, okay, well, this is this state's slate of delegates' first choice, and then this is this state's slate of delegates' second choice, and then this is this state's slate of delegates' third choice, so that you come in to the convention with fixed votes depending on who gets weeded off on each round of voting. That's not how it works. Again, that's not how the game works. So Bernie Sanders is basically saying that he should get the nomination despite the fact that a supermajority of delegates didn't pick him first. If he can't convince a simple majority to pick him, then why does he then get... Let's say it was a difference of one vote. Let's say Bernie Sanders had 1,200 delegates and Elizabeth Warren had 1,199. Let's say that was the case. Why does being – then there's other also more in my math when I use the flat number of 4,500. There's another 2,301 delegates out there, more than double – what those two have, who say, no, we want other people. So no, it doesn't make sense to say that simply having first place in the nomination or in the first round of the process should imply anything about your ability, about how you should win. But if that's Sanders' strategy, if that's how he's strategizing, then he's going to lose. Because he's not playing the game as it was meant to be played, as the rules are written. He is going to be, because this is what else can happen. If Bernie Sanders was a smart candidate who is not focused on just simply getting the most votes going into, I mean, obviously every candidate wants to get the majority of what you need to win. But if he doesn't get the majority, what else does he need to do? Well, the other thing he needs to do, or every candidate needs to do, is he needs to be, say, you know what? Not only do I need to get my loyal delegates to me on the ballot, I need to get loyal Democrats to me on other people's slates of candidates. He needs to say, okay, I need to now convince, I need to say, okay, you're my supporter, but I want you to go run to be a delegate for Joe Biden, or I'm supporting, you're going to support me, but I want you to go be a delegate for Amy Klobuchar. I want you to go be a regular delegate for Pete Buttigieg, or whoever else is getting delegates. That's what he needs to do. And then once the second round comes, if you know that all your delegates are loyal to you, the second round comes around, you get whatever superdelegates decide to go your way. But then the superdelegates might not even matter to begin with, because you've then situated yourself, you've played the game right, you've shot the three-pointers instead of the two-pointers, instead of the layups, and you've said, someone said it smells like Common Core in the chat room. Yeah, the math, delegate math is kind of weird that way. How they award it is weird, one. Two, the fact that everything goes out the window at the convention if it becomes a broken convention. If he doesn't play the game as it's played, if he's just going to sit back and rely on the nice, oh, well, I got first place, so I should win. And if that's what he's going to focus on, it sounds like he's more, like, to me, that's not a winning strategy. That's a, if I lose, I get to blame other people strategy. And then that's going to make his voters, his supporters mad. That's going to make them want to give up and not want to vote blue no matter who. That's going to make them feel disenfranchised, because Bernie's going to complain about a corrupt system. But you agreed to play within that system. You agreed to do this process, and you should, at that point, understand how the process works and try to win it within the process, which means you need to try and get as many delegates on your side in the second round as possible. You need to make sure that you can convince as many people as possible that are supporters of you to go run and win to be delegates for other people. And I don't know how else to say it. You need to convince, Bernie Sanders needs to not only convince his supporters who are diehard and supportive to not only be loyal to him through all the rounds of the process, but he also needs to convince people to run to be delegates for other candidates as well, so that when the second debate comes around, or not the second debate, when the second round of voting comes, his vote totals will go up. And that's the way it's, you need to play it. And if he doesn't play it that way, if he doesn't intend on doing that, all he's going to do is create dissension within the ranks. And Pete Buttigieg will have been right that all he wants to do is burn the party down. And I don't believe that about Bernie Sanders for a second. I don't believe that Bernie Sanders literally wants to burn the Democratic Party down. He has worked with the Democratic Party for far too long. But just like in 2016. In 2016, yeah, there were some shenanigans, wrongdoing done by the DNC. But nothing that the DNC did compared to the unforced error that Bernie Sanders committed by thinking that all Southern delegates from the Democratic Party were going to be conservatives and therefore unreachable. And in reality, a big chunk of Southern Democrats are liberal, are progressive. We're just frustrated as hell that we're living in the podunk South, the conservative South, the right-leaning South that passes all these heartbeat bills and right-to-life bills that are just invasive on women's bodies, bodies of people with uteruses. He completely ignored the playbook that Barack Obama wrote on how to beat Hillary Clinton in a primary, which was go through the South, win the South. Again, I criticized Barack Obama in 2008 for campaigning in the South. I'm like, why is he trying to go after these states that he'll never win? And I was wrong. I was stupid. I didn't think, because I wasn't as smart as Barack Obama. Campaign team that realized a delegate from the South is just as good as a delegate from the North. And if we get more delegates, we win. It's as simple as that. Furthermore, him campaigning in the South enabled the Democrats to pick up, enabled the Democrats to pick up North Carolina, which never would have happened if Barack Obama hadn't had an effort in the South. So he did win a state that he wasn't supposed to win, and he won the nomination away from Hillary Clinton, who at the beginning of the 2008 process was the presumptive nominee in a lot of people's minds, including my own, because I didn't realize that Barack Obama would do as well. And he did. So, again, I haven't picked a favorite in this election. I mean, I take tests online, and the tests always come back Warren. I did think Warren won the debate. I would be very happy with a President Warren. But the thing is just that if he's going to commit an unforced error, if he does what I'm worried about him doing, and it's only going to hurt the Democratic Party because he's going to then play it off and not take personal responsibility for making that unforced error and realizing how the party process works, how the primary process works. And if he fails and then he blames the party instead of blaming himself, it's going to tear the party apart. All of his supporters are going to be pissed off for the wrong reason. And then we're going to lose. We're going to get 4 more years of Trump, all because Bernie Sanders didn't want to play by the rules that he was supposed to play by, and instead tried to play by the rules that he thought we should be playing by. And that's problematic. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does try to do that. And I hope that nobody comes away from the process thinking, oh, my candidate was screwed out of the primary so that we could have a unity coalition going after Donald Trump in November. I'm just concerned that it's not going to happen. I'm just concerned that Bernie's going to make that mistake. He's going to lose. And if he's making that mistake, if he is going to make that mistake and not go after the candidates in the second round and try and scoop up other people's candidates by putting your own supporters into their bucket, I hope he comes in second. Say it right now. If he's not going to play the game as it stands, I hope he comes in second or worse. Because at the end of the day, then he won't be able to make that argument, and the people won't be – and there'll be some who will always say that he was screwed over by the party. But at least at that point, he won't be able to make the argument, I came in first and they didn't give me the thing even though I was – no, you need to earn the nomination. You need to earn a majority of the votes, which means playing by the rules as they're written. So I disagree with Bring It Boy that Warren lies too much. It would be the same as having Donald Trump. I disagree with that. Let's see. I don't know why we have superdelegates anyways. The RNC doesn't have superdelegates. I think the RNC has – a different kind, where if you don't certain, like in Louisiana, I remember last time you had to reach a certain threshold to get like kind of like New Hampshire, and in New Hampshire primary, you had to get like 15% of the vote to qualify for a certain amount of delegates. But then they split up the delegates amongst the people that qualified. But I think like in the Louisiana Republican primary, you had a situation where, and I think this was in 2012, if I'm remembering correctly, you had a situation where I don't think Santorum got a certain amount of the vote or whatever. It turned out like at least 40%, if I'm recalling this correctly, of the primary votes for the Republican Party wound up being unpledged. It wasn't winner take all because there were delegates that turned out being unpledged. So even though they're not quote super delegates, they are still unpledged delegates, and as such operate in much the same way that a super delegate. Bigger Boy says, I would like a Gabbert and Yang 2020. Tulsi's a Russian stooge. It's just, no, I don't want that. What is your take on Sanders and Yang? If Sanders wins the presidency or wins the nomination and selects Andrew Yang to be his vice president, I could think of worse tickets. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to such a ticket. I would happily support it if that was the ticket that wound up being in the case. That wound up being the one presented by the Democratic Party, it would be fine. I would enthusiastically support Bernie Sanders for president if he wins the nomination. I'm just concerned again that he is going to commit another unforced error because he wants the system to work in the way that he wants it to work, and he's not operating in the system the way it's supposed to work. So it's frustrating. And I know lots of Bernie Sanders supporters might hear this and might take issues with it. And look, if Bernie's going to win, I want Bernie to win. And if he's going to get the nomination, I want to support him as much as I can. But if he's going to play this type of game going into the convention, I'm going to have a big problem supporting him because if he's going to cause that drama, if he finishes first, it's better for the party that he doesn't finish first. Unless he's able to play the game as if it's supposed to be played, and he's able to pull off those delegate stealing or whatever, however you would word it. I'm sure there's a word for it. But I'll see UBI again. Your take? I support universal basic income more than I do a minimum wage. I would prefer that everybody just have a universal basic income. That way you don't have to worry about, because with a minimum wage, somebody would be like, oh, that's $15 an hour. They can say, oh, okay, well, I'm only going to hire you part-time. Well, then you have to get two jobs. Then you have to navigate two schedules and it becomes much more hectic, where if everybody had a universal basic income, then they have enough money to pay their bills. They have more leverage when it comes to the negotiation table as well. So they don't have to, I don't have to take this job. I can take another job where I can be happy with doing what I'm doing with universal basic income. I think universal basic income is better than a minimum wage. I don't know how feasible it is to pass. There's a lot of people that push back on it. So we got about 7.5 minutes before I'm forced to end the show because again I got the technical difficulties and I do want to get. And thank you for respecting my thoughts concerning the Sanders nomination. I do appreciate that, and I hope that somebody from the Sanders campaign will listen. I hope somebody said from the Sanders campaign will talk me down. Maybe I should next week have somebody from the Sanders campaign on the podcast to discuss my concerns about this issue, because I'm worried about the harm that a Sanders loss in a second round because some other candidate was able to play the game better than he did, was able to shoot 7 3-pointers more over 10 two-pointers over 10 layups, and then he has nobody to blame. In that situation, he has nobody to blame but himself, but I'm concerned that he would still blame the DNC anyway and a corrupt system that benefits the oligarchs and the billionaires and millionaires, which it does, but still, he needs to play. He's in that system. He's playing in that system. He needs to win in that system, and then he can work on changing that system to something better if he is able to do so. You leverage his power if he becomes president to encourage the Democratic Party to change the nomination process so that it's more fair and more accessible to people lower income who aren't millionaires, who aren't billionaires, or people just regular old working class folks. And I would totally support him doing that. But again, play the game that you're playing. Don't play the game that you want to play that nobody else is playing. But I do want to take one final thought, one final stop to change subjects real quickly, because there was my other bit that I do every week is Words of Redneck Wisdom. And there was a very disturbing piece for Words That Were Running that somebody said on the radio show that I call into a lot. It's a conservative radio show, but I was just shocked at this. Without further ado, let me go ahead and switch topics for a second. Normally, I would take a commercial break before hitting this up, but I don't think I have the time. So let's just go to this, and I'll give my thoughts on this horrible woman.
And now, this week's Words of Redneck Wisdom, brought to you by Liberal Dan Radio.
Let's welcome Mrs. Snowball, who joins us. How you doing, Mrs. Snowball? Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, I was going to comment on something else, but I'll do it another day. But talking about Bloomberg, I do think that that is their only decent chance. And we need to saturate all media with the hatred he has of African Americans, with the stop and frisk, the 16-ounce soda pops. That's a dictatorship, dictator for real. And millions of them, you could probably name them Jeff better than I, and that he's Jewish. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but push it. Put the metal to the pedal. Pedal to the metal.
You have just heard more Words of Redneck Wisdom, brought to you by Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.
I don't know where to start first on that one. Do I start with the anti-Semitism or do I start with the stupidity? She's saying you should go after Bloomberg for his stop and frisk policies. Donald Trump ran for office in 2016 supporting stop and frisk. He said it was a reasonable thing to do. Not only did Donald Trump say it was a reasonable thing to do in 2016, he said it was reasonable because it allowed you to take away their guns. And that just confirms the NRA hypocrisy of why the NRA would continue to support him, because he's supporting to take away guns, because the NRA doesn't fight when government tries to take guns away from black people. The NRA only fights when the government wants to take guns away from white people. And in reality, the NRA doesn't even support gun rights for individuals. The NRA supports gun sellers. That's who the NRA is for gun sellers. But not only is that stupid, but the whole, we should just play that he's put the pedal to the metal and just talk about how Bloomberg is a Jew. And if that just, he is a Jew, and that's why, and you should use that against him in the campaign. I guess the same could be said for Sanders as well, that he's a Jew too. Well, I was raised Jewish, and I'll tell you, I was pissed off when I heard it. I thought I misheard it, had to go back and hear it again so I could find the clip, and I found the clip, and I heard it again, and I'm pissed off again. And not only am I pissed off at the fact that she called in and said that you would target Bloomberg because he's a Jew and you would run ads about him because he's a Jew, not just pissed off about that, I'm also pissed off about the fact that you had, I think it's Senator Harvey, former Senator Harvey from the Committee to Defend Donald Trump. He was the guest at the time, and you had Jeff Carrera, the host of that radio program, and none of them said a peep. They responded to the other things that they said, and of course, Senator Harvey, I think his name is, he started, Donald Trump has delivered on all of his promises. Well, I mean, he didn't have Mexico pay for the wall. He didn't do a total and complete ban on Muslim entry to the country. Obviously, any ban based on religion is bad. But again, he didn't keep that promise either. So there's two promises that I can think of right off the top of my bat that Donald Trump didn't keep, and there's plenty of more. But the fact that neither of them denounced the anti-Semitism by Snowball, the caller to that radio station, I'm going to have a stern talking to with Jeff when I call into his show tomorrow. And she would be banned from my show if that's what she said. He doesn't like to ban people, but she would be banned from my show if she called in and said that garbage, because that's just ridiculous crap. Anti-Semitism that's still alive today. People thought I was crazy, but it is. Anyway, that is the end of this week's episode of Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. I'll tune in next Wednesday at the regular time, 8 p.m. Central, on Blog Talk Radio. You can also follow me on liberaldan.com, facebook.com/liberaldan, and at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. Again, until next week, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.